Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at any time throughout the broadcast. You can certainly do that. 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. Call or text in anytime throughout the program. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And Melody Wilkes, health coach, here on the show. And we have a special guest via telephone this morning once again. Always love the guest. Always good information. And so you might want to introduce our guest this morning and tell a little bit about her.
You bet. I'm really excited to have our guest today. We often will bring in various health experts, but I'm super excited today because this one is going to be speaking about one of our four pillars. As most of our listeners know, the Veritas four pillars: nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. Actually, I think today we'll talk about two of the pillars, probably, because hydration's the topic today. But as I found out reading the book Quench, that movement is really half of hydration. You've got to move that water around the body, but we'll get into that more as we get into the show. So I'm very excited today to have the author of this book. Again, the book's name is Quench, like Quench Your Thirst. Gina Bria, along with co-author Dr. Dana Cohen, wrote this book, Quenched, but we've got Gina on the phone today, so I want to intro her real quick. Gina's an expert on hydration, obviously. That's our topic today. She heads the Hydration Foundation, which you can find out more about that at hydrationfoundation.org, which is a primary source for information on hydration and the science of structured water. We've talked about structured water before on the show. Gina's an anthropologist trained at Columbia. She speaks widely on the topic of water and health. She was named a Real World Scholar and a former Berlin Fellow with the Social Science Research Council, and also famous for a TED Talk she did, which I encourage everyone to watch, called How to Grow Water. It's not only blue, it's green. It's really changed the conversation about water. So, Gina, thank you for joining us today on the show. Welcome.
Oh, Dr. Edwards, I'm so pleased to be asked to share and spread these new strategies for hydration instead of making everybody guzzle 8 glasses of water a day.
Right.
So it's great. Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm excited about that topic, too. I mean, I think most people hear hydration, that's what they think, is get your eight ounces of water in a day, and that's about it. And there's so much more to it. In fact, that's not really even going to be the recommendation. People will find out by the end of the show that the 8 ounces a day is probably not the best way to do things. But before we get into some of that, I always like our listeners to kind of know your story. I mentioned some of your background, but where'd you come from and what led you to where you are today as far as deciding to write this book? Kind of give us some of your personal testimony that got you to the point you are today.
Oh, love it, because I do have a testimony.
Awesome.
And that has to do with being a cultural anthropologist, and I was I had asked a simple question: how do cultures, especially extremist cultures like deserts, when they don't have 8 glasses of water a day, what are they doing? How come they're still alive? So really simple, like, let's go find out. And so I started researching strategies around desert communities. And at the same time, I was literally, going through archives and tracing, talking to elders and tracing botanicals, because it turns out they're not looking for water. They go looking for plants that hold water. So if you think cactus, you've got the idea down right away. At that time, I'm in I'm in this pile of tattered ethnographies looking at all these strategies and finding amazing information. I'm getting phone calls from my mother's nursing home saying, well, she has chronic dehydration, she has another UTI, she lost her balance last week, her cognitive decline, we're noticing she's having disturbed sleep. And I'm like, wait a minute, I know that there are strategies for hydration that are not being practiced for my mom? Mm-hmm. How can I link up this story? How can I make the solution potent for my mom and really help her with a, you know, having to run through the football field of healthcare, staff, overwork, you know, institutional living. They were giving my mom, thermal cups of ice water. I mean, do you even know an elderly person who likes to drink ice water? Maybe in Texas.
not even here, I don't think.
So it became a really personal quest for quenching my mother and helping her as I was writing a long-distance story. And I think a lot of us have elderly, vulnerable elderly in our life that we really know that hydration story is going to knock them down if we don't get in there ahead of time. So simple strategy with my mom was I was actually at that time looking at a specific group of people in the Sierra Madres, the Tarahumara, who use a plant to hydrate, and that plant is called chia seed, or it's a desert sage, and these seeds hold amazing amount of capacity for water. The second they're touched by a dew or by a small amount of raindrops, they immediately take that water and transform it into a gel structure so that, of course, we all immediately recognize how instinctually smart this is, that the gel is going to retain water longer. It's going to keep that seed moisture for a longer period of time, nurture it in a way that a liquid would just experience runoff. So if you take that idea and realize, hey, that's what we're doing with eight, those 8 glasses of water is runoff. Basically, we are flushing through our system, flash flooding out our very electrolytes, our very nutrition, which is where the healing agency is part of our hydration strategy. With my mom, I went and bought chia seeds, and I took them home, and I knew that if I ground them up, they would be even more effective because they're releasing more surface area. Put that in a package, ground it up. I literally used my coffee grinder in my kitchen, ground it up, put it in the package, mailed it to the nursing home, and told the staff, hey, pour a little of this, like a teaspoon. Start with a teaspoon. She said, elder, be gentle. Work up to a tablespoon over a week or so, and mix it in her orange juice. Sometimes I notice it's just like a 10% viscosity difference. It's not noticeable, like pulpy orange juice. Ever drink that. If you can do it again at the end of the day, maybe with some tea or in a soup, please, give this a try. And thankfully, I had someone who's a nurse practitioner who was willing. And my mom walked out of her health of those chronic dehydration issues. She became much more brain bright. She never did regain her mobility. She was in a wheelchair, which, of course, we can talk about the importance of movement, even in a wheelchair, for hydration later in the show. But you can see, can you imagine how I felt? So I was like, okay, my mom first, next the world. Let's go do this.
Wow. Just a simple chia seed. So I think I remember reading in the book that the group in the Sierra Madres, is that the group mm-hmm. that had the young men would run 50-mile marathons for fun?
Yes, they love to run. It's like the pastime, and they run together. And no one runs competitively. You run to get everybody in your group to the next canyon. So they were so famous for these 50-mile marathons that they were entered in the Olympics, but they never won because they were waiting for the last person. Wow. Do you love it?
And they would use the chia seed basically in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's what they would consume, and that would keep them hydrated.
Yes. So the most important, the start of this conversation for your listeners is helping people understand that what we need with hydration is not just to drink it, we need to absorb it.
Right.
So that's why you need to partner with juicy foods, fresh juicy foods, because they contain, as a natural package, all the fibers and the materials to help that water not flash flood your system. So just a very quick picture for your listeners. drinking a bottle of water and eating a watermelon are two completely different ways to get hydrated. The water is going, is only going to stay, the liquid water is only going to stay in your system if it has some material in there that can help it absorb. And of course, everybody's got some, but having a watermelon where that fibrous material is already present as you're getting that watermelon, what, 98% water. And this strategy of using fresh foods, all fresh foods and vegetables, over 80 to 90% water, and some are up to 98. I mean, these are very high quality foods. When we're eating a high fresh food diet, we are hydrating naturally and bringing in nutrients and, of course, the electrolytes. Right. So, perfect path.
Well, and kind of an analogy around here, we've got a lot of agriculture around here and a lot of cotton farming and a lot of tilling of the ground. But so we're familiar with runoff. When we get a big rain, we get a lot of runoff. And I'm just reminded of Paul Gauch. He's a guy who produced a film called BackToEdenFilm.com, and it's just talking about a gardening technique. But he uses wood chips to put a covering on the ground.
Yeah.
And the biggest point, one of the big points he makes is the wood chips are like a sponge. They soak up the water when it rains, and then when it's dry, it releases that water. Kind of a similar concept here. You can guzzle a huge glass of water, but you're going to have a lot of runoff. If you can hold that water in your gut with the fiber, the chia seed, or just food like you're talking about. So it leads to somewhere in your book you talk about eat your water instead of drink your water. And you went on to talk about those recommendations. Some government agency put out a long time ago to try to consume a certain number of ounces a day. But you said urban legend over the years that that recommendation has morphed. And originally, I think you said, was it 45% of the water or the hydration should be coming through food, not just eight ounces of or eight glasses of water a day, but half that should be in the food, right?
Yes. And if we realize, my gosh, think about the extra nutrition you're bringing in under those conditions.
Right.
And the value of that nutrition, Dr. Edwards, one of the most important things I really try to help people understand is in the last, say, let's call it, I used to say 5 years, but I said that 2 years ago, so now I say 7 years. In the last few years, our ecology, so I'm talking now as an ethnographer or an anthropologist who's looking out at a culture, I'm looking at the environments they live in, and if we recognize that in these last few years, the environment that we have lived in the past has tipped. We're not living, it's not possible for us to live in the same kind of situations that we had even 20 years ago or 10 years ago. And that has a lot to do with agricultural practices. It has a lot to do with the indoor life that we're living, with air conditioning, drywall, carpeting, fluorescent lighting. It has a lot to do with more transportation. So we leave our offices and we get in our cars. We get out of our cars, we go into our homes. These are the environments we occupy. We're not really outdoor people anymore. And that kind of living requires a much higher level of hydration than an in-motion outdoor, both sunlight, moving around, and pulling in microbes from the air, all that stuff required. So our hydration strategies definitely have to look quite different. And the only advice we're getting is drink more water. And people can see why you're guzzling and you're not flourishing. But into that amount of water, we got to look pretty good. But what do we look like?
Right.
So helping people, then I didn't even add into that all the percentage here. Two more very, very serious hydration issues. One are cell phones and computers, which have their own forms of drying effects from two different agencies. One is the heat that they bring, but also they bring electromagnetic interference with our cellular structure. That's a hydration issue. The second one is pharmaceuticals. And no one tells you, you have to drink way more. You need way more hydration to take apart those pharmaceuticals than anyone thought that we did. And now when you're talking about the vulnerable elderly that are getting what is called polypharmacies, they're taking 5 different medications with the same amount of water that it would take just take one medication, if that. This is where we really want the medical community to come in to the hydration story and start helping the conversation go differently.
Right. Well, can you speak to, you just laid out great how our environments, our internal environments, the fluorescent lights, even just the indoor air. People think about the heaters in the winter, but even the air conditioners will dry you out. But,
oh boy.
But food, the standard American diet, you know, I've always quoted 65% of what goes in the standard American's mouth isn't even food. It's processed food-like substances. It may be higher than that, actually. But speak to how just eating the standard diet is dehydrating.
So, okay, pizza. We know pizza. We understand how dehydrating a piece of pizza could be. So in the book, I just say, have your pizza. I can't, you know, there's going to be time. This is what it looks like now. Protect yourself. Be smart. Have an apple afterwards or an apple beforehand. Or bring a nice big salad in with that. Instead of 2 pieces of pizza, have a salad in a pizza. Or have a, you know, have a big, beautiful smoothie. Or if you can't do it at that moment, go back later in the afternoon and make sure you get some version of food and hydration mixed together, whether it's a simple thing like adding a collagen, a bone broth to your powdered bone broth to your afternoon coffee or tea. I want to invite people, help them come into the idea, hey, I have to be doing a lot more protective thinking than I used to, but what I want to do is get it out of a defensive protective and into the wow, I am so smart category, because that drives the motivation differently.
Right.
Then, oh, I better do this. And I think a lot of our standard American diet and the foods we eat diminish our joyous approach, our motivational approach. The materials in those foods, the preservatives, chemicals, extra salt, unnatural salt, processed salt, all of these, I can just help people start understand how much they hit our mood. They're draining our joy out of us, and we could be so much more juicy and joyous when we touch natural foods, when we seek to bring beautiful eating and movement into our day as we're moving through. It's not an extra task to go hydrate. It's not an extra task to go gently move your spine around while you're sitting in front of your computer, or wiggle your toes, or nod your head up and down, or when you're driving in your car, basically use your driving time to massage your shoulders into the back of your seat. Easy to be done. You know, these are really joyous, lively ways to live versus, I better get to the gym. Don't eat that. Don't eat this. Wow, break it open.
Right.
Think about it. Yeah. Joyous.
And you, at one point in the book, you said how food was perfectly packaged, or the perfect combination package of hydration of water and food together. I mean, carrots and celery and cucumbers and apples and even, you know, some grass-fed beef. I was thinking about, you know, a steak that's medium rare versus jerky. I mean, when you dehydrate the meat, that meat shrinks up to a piece of jerky. There's a lot of water even in meat, but for sure, the vegetables, I mean, it is the perfect package. And if you're a standard American eating food out of a package, it's purposefully not, I mean, there's no water in it, and there's extra chemical, of course, but the sodium content, most packaged food, the sodium and the sugar both. So you're eating stuff that fills you up. It doesn't really nourish you, and it sure doesn't hydrate you. In fact, it dehydrates you, and you're doing it while you're driving down the road in your air-conditioned car, sitting in your air-conditioned office, school, or home, and that's drying you out. And you're looking at your iPad, that's drying you out, probably you're stressed too, which dries you out.
Oh, my goodness. You know how much stress chemicals, but the power in the body to process chemicals. The stress chemicals, they call the cortisol the ruster for a reason. So the supporting chemicals that raise our mood are not, they don't require the same kind of hydration or taking part and distributing. You know, when you get a stress chemical, your body's trying to hurry up and move it along. And why? How is it doing that? It's through hydration channels. So, when you have a happy, positive emotion, your body wants to hang on to that one, and it isn't so interested in moving that one along. It's like wanting that one to hang around. And then I have to laugh, too, because I'm thinking of you all in Texas, but when those cows are out there grazing on all that grass, that's just 98% water. They're hydrating. That's a big deal.
Right. Yeah, in your
and
book.
And we don't think of that. Yeah, so natural foods are the package that is designed by nature to hydrate us, to help us absorb it, to bring the right kind of hydration. So one other aspect of this is there's a lot to talk about. It's very simple to practice. You don't need to know all this background, but one important piece of information that we share in the book is the grass or the lettuce or the cucumber or the cauliflower or the broccoli or the apple that you eat has water in it. We know that those are high water foods, but the water inside of it is not H2O. It's not, it's a different kind of water that has become electrified by sunlight and by soil mineral content. And that carries additional energy, additional electrical charge. There's actually an extra electron inside the water in a apple than there is in that bottled water, which has been sitting on the 7-Eleven shelf, actually came from the back of the truck, sitting in the back seat. You know, these are different kinds of water. They have a different impact on hydration. That's why I am so hot on getting people to get their water through food.
Yeah. Well, in the second half of the show, I really want to dive more into that structured water, the water found in plants, the water found in nature, really, versus the water that's in a water bottle. But before we have to take our break here in just a couple minutes, go through real quick, what are some of the primary symptoms for someone that's dehydrated?
Well, top of the list, if we really, again, speaking as an ethnographer, when I look out at the culture we live in and I see how many people have chronic illnesses, this is, and whether it's children or whether it's our elderly or whether it's our, you know, 35-year-old man at his office desk with the beer, with the belly that's hanging over his belt, I just want to weep. We should be looking like beautiful warriors. In this affluent of a society, why don't we look like the indigenous? What do we look? How could we look like the mess we look like when you walk in an airport? You just want to weep.
Yeah.
At least I do. And what I want to say about that is get back yourself up. You can walk out of that distressed body you're in. Your body is perfectly capable of healing itself. If it knows the right channel, it will easily drop weight. With hydration, it will easily start to move back up the health chain, and you can really help that. You want to help that. You got to help that. Because if you're living without awareness that you have to do that, you're going to end up where you're at, not through personal issues, but through our culture is set up to defeat you. And you have to sort of get a little bit back up and go, you know what, I'm not going to live out my life that way. I'm going to do something different. And it's not that hard. It's just literally shifting. I'm picking this path, not that path. So a couple of very, very simple things to notice. Yeah, I got to do something about this hydration. The chances are you do anyway. But if you have afternoon fatigue, you hit that 3 o'clock hour and you crash. If you're having fog issues, you know, it's just hard for you to, like, think through something, especially at the end of the day. And if you're having sleep issues. It takes a lot of hydration to sleep well. That is that nighttime is when your body is doing sanitation. it needs all the hoses out, right? So I'm not saying drink at night so you sleep well. I'm saying drink during the day or get that food, those food chains into you and get that body, that water distributed in your body by the time you're ready to get back. You can have a full night's sleep.
Okay. Yeah. So afternoon fatigue, brain fog, sleep disturbance.
Also, hey, you look older than you are. I mean, you look kind of saggy, old. That's hydration. You
right.
Be balloon and buoyant like if you get. And your body will respond quickly. It loves. Just think about watering a plant, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
You know, the difference. So there you go.
Another thing I would think. It's just if you have any chronic disease, basically. I mean, after I read through the book, I thought, man, every single patient walking in my door is going to be dehydrated, guaranteed. I mean, they all need to be on the Quench plan, which we'll get to towards the end of the show. But so for sure, if you just have a chronic disease or a chronic symptom of any sort, I would think about dehydration. Of course, you mentioned the medicines before. If you're on a pharmaceutical or multiple pharmaceuticals, that automatically is going to dehydrate you. But if you're living the standard American life. But one thing I see a lot of these kids, and you hear a lot of on the news, is concussions and traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And we hear so much more about concussions these days. And I've been thinking, is it really, I mean, are that many more kids getting concussion? We diagnose them easier or better? Or I thought the helmets were better now than they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago or back when I was playing. I know for sure the helmets weren't much. But then you speak about that in the book, that chronic dehydration, and Stephanie Seneff, I think you quoted, said that these kids, their brains are less resilient, less able to take a hit, where even a minor hit is going to cause concussion symptoms, where maybe 20 years ago when we weren't as dehydrated, we wouldn't see that as often. So that'd be another thing for people to consider.
Yeah. Well, the best helmet is hydration.
Right.
That's how simple it is.
Yeah, all the spinal fluids.
You want to go play contact sports right after school, right? It's the 3 o'clock hour. Kids are dehydrated from being in schools all day. Now we're sending them out onto the sports field without intervention. Like those kids, and oh, by the way, what is the coach giving them? Huge volumes of water that don't have any electrical charge in it. Now that water is a vector, water without electrical charge, regular, you know, bottled water, tap water, without that electrical charge, it's going to pull out the electrolytes in your body. So even a glass of orange juice is going to be much better at that, even with the sugars. But, you know, it's so easy. We give a sports recipe drink, simple sports recipe drink in the book, but, you know, super simple. Throw in some sea salt or some good old Utah salt from the underground sea that dried up. You know, there's salts around the world that are really valuable. That's the mineral. The mineral to bring charge. They start an electrical cascade in that bottle of water. So even as a parent, you can just hand your kids little packages, pink salt or sea salt. Drop that in your coach's water bottle or the cup you're bringing to the field. You will be more protected. Tissue protection, brain protection.
Yeah.
So simple. We just have to pass this information around.
Right. Yep. All that cerebral spinal fluid that encases the brain acts as a shock absorber or cushion. And then also at night, your brain is detoxing all the toxins out of the brain from your stressful day, but you've got to have plenty of fluid to wash all those toxins out of the brain, not only the brain, but the body. So headaches, I'm sure, are another common symptom, just a dull, daily, kind of nagging headache. But probably any headache, migraines, cluster, sinus, you could relate. But we've got to take a break. When we come back, I really want to get into a couple things. You started to mention the structured water, the electrical charge that's in the water, and how structured water has a negative charge and what that does and what that means, how we actually get energy at the cellular level from water. But also want to talk about the fascia. That was a fascinating part of the book. Explain to the listeners what fascia is and how it's related to water and electrical charge. So y'all stick with us. We will be right back after this commercial.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Hey, don't forget the Blair Chiropractic Clinic having a grand opening and ribbon cutting in their new location tomorrow. That's September the 25th. On the corner of 13th and Avenue J, the ribbon cutting is at 4. And afterwards is an open house and a happy hour till 6 p.m. with door prizes, music, special offers, and refreshments. That's tomorrow, 4 to 6 at 1212 Avenue J, the Blair Chiropractic Clinic, helping suffering people in the Lubbock area since 1949. Our special guest here on the program today, also a text coming in, they forgot, Gina Bria is with us on the show. Back to Dr. Edwards, we go.
All right. We're right back at it with Gina Bria. HydrationFoundation.org is her website, and Quench is the book that we're discussing. Real quick, before we get to structured water, I did want to mention, because of our ag relationship out here, so many of our listeners are in the ag community, and the grass, you mentioned the cows eat the grass to get their water. And there was a study you mentioned in the book, grass-fed versus grain-fed cows, and it seemed like the grain-fed, I think, it was almost twice as much water consumption that they required, because obviously the grain didn't have the water in it like the grass did. So
I wrote that just for you guys.
Well, it really, really drives home a point. We need to eat our water. So speaking of eating, eating our water, and the water that's inside a plant. Talk about that a little bit, this fourth phase of water. We have interviewed Gerald Pollack before. It's been a number of months ago. I'd encourage the listeners to go back on the archives and find that, and where we really talk about structured water a lot. But Gina, explain that a little bit more. How's the water in a plant different, and what are the benefits of getting water through plants as opposed to a glass or a bottle of water?
I'm so glad that you asked, and I'm so glad this information is going out, and I'm thrilled that you interviewed Gary Pollack. He's my closest colleague. He actually helped me found the Hydration Foundation so that we could spread this science and help people understand that there is a different kind of water than the water we're in our culture typically exposed to. It isn't a new form of water. It's always been there. It's just that the way we live in our modern life, we have interfered with how water goes through its phases and becomes self-purified for structures. So the way water works is it's a vapor and a liquid and an ice, but we now understand, have identified, and this is the brilliant work of Dr. Pollack at the University of Washington, that there's a state in between liquid and ice. It's a long state. It's a long, it builds up, so it can start to be, as soon as there's a 10% difference from the beginning of liquid, it goes all the way to a very manifested state like a cartilage. And so that cartilage is actually water. It's water in this state. Or it could be as simple as a jelly, or even just a silkier kind of water that you drink. This state of water, called gel water or easy water or structured water, is the sort of name that's getting out. We've got so many scientists studying, they all have their own names for it, but structured water seems to be what's being shaped, where people are hearing about it, and the culture is accepting this as the common term. Structured water simply means that water started to move through its spectrum of things, and when it hits this state, an electrical cascade starts. And the electrons start, the molecules line up, they hook up together, and when they get close enough, the electrons start jumping from one molecule to the next molecule to the next molecule to the next, and it energizes every time it jumps. It releases a charge. So every time, you're getting more and more energy. And when you drink water from a spring that's been under pressure, it has that electrical charge in it. When you eat a plant that has that kind of water from the sunlight and the minerals in the soil, it has that kind of water in it. When you add pink salt to your water, which is a really simple solution, it has that kind of water in it. That's a different kind of water. It has way more healing energy, electrical charge, mood boosting, cognitive function goes up. When we get, and by the way, that is the kind of water inside ourselves. So when you speak to physicians today, and I've had these conversations where I've said, actually, the water inside of you is not H2O. It's this structured water, or H3O2 is the chemical formula. In other words, it carries an extra electrical charge. They just look at you and go, nah. You know, they're not even aware that the water inside of you is the same kind of water that's inside a plant. Because that's what nature's doing for us. It wants to purify itself and bring in electrical charge. That's how water cleans itself up. So I love knowing that. And I love collaborating with nature. And I love helping us understand in our modern environments, we are interfering with water's ability to purify itself. And we just need to get near that kind of water. And there's lots of strategies for it. So let's go explore them all and talk about.
Right. And I think Dr. Pollack talked about mm-hmm. how he first came upon this a number of years ago. He was doing an experiment with, I think it was a cardiac muscle cell, and he accidentally poked a hole in the cell membrane. And the water didn't just squirt out like if you poked a hole in a water balloon, you know, the water would just shoot right out. It did not do that. It stayed. In fact, I think he went on to poke lots of holes in the cell membrane, and the water didn't leak out. So he was fascinated by that, and he went on just to study it more. So listeners can think of it as almost like Jell-O. It can get that kind of gel-like consistency, but again, it's a spectrum. So when you put some sea salt in your water, you start to head down that road of structuring the water, but obviously that's still real liquidy. But the full spectrum of it can be a very gelatin-like material. So it's this spectrum of a different phase of waters, and it carries this electrical charge to it. And our listeners are quite familiar with electrons. We've talked about a lot of times on this show the mitochondria and energy and ATP and the transfer of electrons, and how toxins and poisons and viruses and bacteria hurt us, rattlesnake venom, by stealing electrons from us. So we want to always donate, or have something donating electrons, antioxidants donate electrons, antioxidant foods, antioxidant enzymes. But even the electrons in this water, not just to combat a toxin, but just for the cell to have energy to function. We're getting the energy, the cell's getting the energy from the water itself. And you mentioned that sunlight charges the water basically in the plant, but also in our own cells. If we go out and get in the sun or in an infrared sauna or something where we get these different wavelengths of light, that brings the charge or causes the structuring to happen inside our cells, right?
Well, if you think about a cell, it's a round blob of jelly. That's why it's the shape it is.
Right.
Because the water is that gel inside our cells is a gel-like form, and it naturally seeks that spherical shape. And then there's the cell membrane around it. And that cell membrane helps make this transfer between the kind of H2O that we drink and changing it into H3O2 so it can cross the cell membrane. The electrical charge actually draws it across the membrane and into the cell. So these are really valuable things to know, that we need electrical charge. And again, back to this modern environment problem, we need more electrical charge than we used to. And those electrical charges do extremely important cell function work, along with their dual purpose. Not only are they giving us, water is our fuel. That's how a human body fuels, and a plant fuels, and so many things are fuels. It's our fuel, but the electrical charge also purifies it. The charge takes apart and neutralizes or dismembers molecules that are harmful to us. So once you get that idea that hydration isn't just about being wet, hydration is about having high fuel that is cleansing us as it's moving through us. So why I love structured water is this is a kind of a strange concept. I'm trying to hold it for you or just open yourself up to this idea. When you have structured water inside of you, in your cells, because you're getting a lot of it, you become the filter. You become the water filter. not Brita. You know, we're need to beautifully cleanse ourselves, but we need the appropriate material. Hydration is the appropriate material, but the kind of hydration is water with charge, not water that's been spilled or sitting or losing its ability to be energized.
Right.
And motion is how we get that charge. Minerals is how we get that charge. Sunlight, fantastic electromagnetic waves come into our body to charge the cells inside of us. Exposure to sunlight is the way nature has set up the system to collaborate with water as the medium for dispersing electrical charge and electromagnetic waves.
Right.
Sunlight.
Yeah, people need to think of themselves kind of like a plant. I think we all learned back in school about chlorophyll and photosynthesis, and obviously plants need sunlight. We all know that. We put our plants in the window to keep them alive. But if people just start thinking of themselves like a plant, I mean, your skin really needs that same sunlight to create energy, to structure the water. And I want to clarify real quick, listeners may not have followed you on that. Water, you be the filter, you be the Brita. When the water gets structured, H3O2 carries this negative charge. So a negative charge in the water is going to repel other particulate matter, particles, toxins, mercury, aluminum, arsenic, these heavy metals that people test their water for. When you have a negative charge in the water, which structured water is, it's going to push or repel those toxins or those the other contaminants in the water out. So the H3O2 itself is pure and clean, and these other particles are pushed out of that water. That's why Dr. Pollack called it the exclusion zone. It excludes all this other junk, gets it out. So that gets a little deep and hard for people to wrap their mind around, but encourage people to read the book and learn more. But I want to move into, you mentioned movement is a good way to charge yourself, and I do want to talk about these micro movements and how you need to move in order to keep the fluid moving around the body. It's one thing to eat it or drink it, but then you've got to absorb it, and then you have to move it around the body. But before we go into the micro movements you talk about in the book, I think we need to mention the fascia, because that's part of the movement thing. So can you try to explain a little bit on the fascia? What is fascia for people that never heard that before? They may have heard of plantar fasciitis, and everyone knows itis is inflammation. So that's inflamed fascia down on the bottom of your foot and in your heel. But explain what fascia is and how water's related to it.
Well, this is a especially tender, happy subject for me, because as I was doing the hydration work and the science and the anthropology, so a lot of background on this. At that time, also brand new information was busting out of the motion muscle movement world. So the way I stumbled into this research is in 2005, I think, that there was a French surgeon who did decide that he was a brilliant hand surgeon. He's putting, you know, athletes' hands back together, tennis players, whatever, and he decided that he wanted to use a micro camera to help himself do the surgery. And when he put the micro camera under the skin to do the hand surgery, he couldn't see very much because there was red on his blood, right? So he asked his nurse to put a tourniquet on to just stop the blood flow while he did these repairs. And he was amazed to find out and to finally see, because it wasn't covered up by red, this spider web-like connective tissue shot through the entire hand, and in fact, it's all over his body. So we are filled. We are absolutely filled with spider webs, cobby-like, fungus-like kind of material called the connective tissue, or fascia. Some people say fascia. It is the connective tissue which is lining all our bodies. There's more of it than anything else. And everyone was thrilled to find, oh, wow, it's so cool looking. You can actually see a video of this surgery that exists, the section on the fascia, when he actually showed this white, spongy, spider-like cobweb material. But the next thing that came up on the camera shocked everybody. And that's where I came onto this research. in these, along the spider web, along those thin strands, and even inside the thin strands, water droplets were running. It turns out that fascia is the major irrigation system, the underground irrigation system of the entire body. And that was completely new to the hydration story. No one ever knew that. We had just thought it was through osmosis somehow. But actually, it's our connective tissue all through our body. So when your bottom of your foot hurts, it's because your fascia there is all dried out. And therefore, to get water delivery back into tissue requires a hydraulic pressing of that spongy, spiderwebby-like material. So any movement, any hydraulic movement is going to squish your tissues and draw and suck and press out hydration. And that's how hydration is actually delivered. It's a very simple, natural method. You move around.
Yeah.
It squeezes the spongy tissue. You get hydration in places that you that were missing.
Awesome. I think we have
a
quick call real quick, and then we'll get back to the fascia.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Good morning. Dr. Ben, does your guest recommend the source for a structured water device? You know, there's lots of things out there, and I can't seem to find a good definitive.
Right.
I am very touched by this question because here's what happened to me. Here I am sitting on all this research, right? And I'm thinking, how do we help people? And I always encourage people to eat food, put salt in their water, move around a lot. But there's multiple levels of getting to this information. And I actually opened up a laboratory to test, to be a credible source. My job is to help people hydrate better. That includes some solutions that are more than just using our own body. I always start there, so important, but then we can add the test products to make sure this stuff is real. And then I let people, if they'd like to move on to that next level. So if you go on my website, you'll see I do have some recommendations, and that allows you to see how much you want to explore these issues around other kinds of, I don't actually use filters because I like the body to be the filter, but that means I have to have a lot of structured water in my life. So I can't just eat all the cucumbers all day long. So I actually use something called the Natural Effects and Technology. What's the name of that? It's a portable funnel, and I take it with me everywhere, and I just pour some of my water in that, then I throw some pink salt in it. There are now, we're testing water bottles that carry mineral charge, that carry electrical charge. But none of that goes on my website until it runs through our laboratory first. So that's the important part of the work of the Hydration Foundation, is to get this information out in multiple forms at different places where people can use it in their life. For example, another thing, since you guys are in the middle of the agricultural place in the country, getting your cows well hydrated, especially the grain-fed cows. I think the Natural Action Technology actually has a device that you put on your in your barn, on your water pipe. Very simple, screw it in, that gives water spin before your cows drink it and starts that cascade. So simple. One time, you aren't using filters, which are so wasteful. All these carbon filters, that's another, more plastic. We're trying to get this, authentic, ethical, help water, help ourselves strategy. So, yeah, I really think it was so important for me to go ahead and now try to vet and provide credible information for products as well as natural food solutions, movement solutions.
Right.
So we do the whole gamut now. And that's taken years to build, by the way. You try getting a lab up and stuff.
Well, and I'm going to try, I think, next week, try to line somebody up. If it doesn't happen next week, it'll be shortly. We'll line somebody up from Natural Action Technologies and talk about some of the practical ways to apply this in our life. And even in the ag world, I remember I was at a conference. This was some years ago, Jerry Tennant's conference. He was had a guy talking about a strawberry patch, strawberry field, where they did half the field irrigated with structured water and half the field wasn't. And they had exceedingly more bountiful production on the structured water irrigated part. But that'll be next week. Hopefully we'll have some of that. In a few minutes that we've got left, I really want to go back to the fascia. I want people to understand this fascia, kind of like, it's not exactly, but think of the chicken breast when you go to cook a chicken breast and you can kind of peel part of that saran wrap-y looking stuff, material. Kind of envision that interwoven between muscles, around organs, in your gut, all around the intestines, and down to your fingertips. I mean, this spider webby material is all through the body. And in fact, there's some evidence now that this is where the acupuncture that the traditional Chinese medicines always promoted, this acupuncture meridian system, that it appears that the fascia is also a part of the acupuncture network, and that there's superconducting of electrons, of electrical charge going up and down this highway and byway system of the fascia. So some fascinating stuff in the electrical energy world in the body, in the hydration world. And I loved your description. It's like, you know, people around here understand subsurface drip irrigation. All the cotton farmers are moving to this drip that's underneath the ground to conserve water and get better yields. And that's what the fascia is doing. I mean, it's dripping all day long. I can just envision those soaker hoses with a million tiny little pinpricks and the water droplets just pressurized coming out of there. And that's what's happening in the fascia. But to get that fascia to really move that water well, you need to move. And just turning your chin to your shoulder, I think, is one of the exercises, or chin to your chest in the morning first thing. That action, even twisting the body, twisting the spine and the torso, imagine like wringing out a sponge or a wet rag. And when you move, and these little micro movements, you call them in the book, it really forces that water out of the fascia and into you and into the cells. So talk just a little bit in the last few minutes about these micro movements. And would you say that that's 50% of the equation? It's not just eating and drinking the water in and getting sunlight to structure you, but then the movement. You've got to have the movement. It seemed to me to be a huge part of your plan, the 5-day quench plan. Half of it's the movements.
Yes. So, yes, movement is how we distribute. It's how we get our drip system to do its work. And so it's great to get the hydration in, but you have to deliver it. So a very important thing of what I'd like to share with your audience is a lot of people do move, but they move in very linear ways. So you think like Pilates or weightlifting. But if you're just doing linear movements and not rotational movements, 360 rotation, and I'm talking about just a simple shoulder roll, just getting your, you know, you only need to squeeze a cell a very little bit to get the cell to be nicely squeezed. So tiny movements, your shoulder, chin to your shoulder. You know, that's not a place you're going to look. Look up at the corner of the ceiling. You know, get your eye, all that fascia around your eye. And, you know, put your hands behind your back. Remember your spine is active. Your spine is your major waterway. Your spinal canal, it's called the canal. Synovial fluid goes right to your brain. That moving and twisting that is essential to having a well-hydrated body. You do not have hydration if you're not moving. That's how the body works. And I'll share with your listeners one of my very simple, I love this. This is my morning routine. I don't even do it before. I do it in my bed. So I'm laying in bed, and I wake up, and I open my eyes, and I reclose my eyes because I'm not going to let the world have me yet. And I just lower my chin to my chest. I raise it again maybe 2 or 3 times. Super simple. I might try to massage my mattress with my shoulder blades or with my hip bones. I might lift my knees to my chest. I lay back down and just become aware of my spine. So spinal awareness is very valuable form of hydration. It's crazy talk now, right? It sounds like we're talking crazy talk, but it's actually true. If you begin to just wiggle your spine a little bit, you're waking up your trillions of cells and receptors. And by the way, hydration, I want to really land this, it isn't just wet. It's energy. It's electrical charge. It's information. We all know water conducts electricity. So if you want to live a highly vital life, you want to move your water through your system and get that electrical charge to your body in the best way possible.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gina. I really want to encourage everybody to go to the website hydrationfoundation.org and Gina's book. She co-authored it with Dana Cohen. Dana Cohen's an integrative physician. But the book is entitled Quench. Subtitle is 8 Glasses a Day is Not the Way. Beat fatigue, drop weight, and heal your body through the new science of optimum hydration. So again, the book is Quenched. That's Gina Bria along with Dana Cohen. Lots of testimonials in the book too from Dr. Cohen's patients. And there's a simple 5-day plan in the book. And then, of course, there's more details than that on different recipes and ways to get the hydrating food in. But really a simple approach just to get you started, this simple 5-day plan with a morning beverage, a morning smoothie, midday movement, afternoon beverage, a bedtime beverage, and a bedtime micro movement. So this is the second pillar of the Veritas 4 Pillars, and I think this book will be a bestseller, I know, in our office. So thank you so much, Gina, for having us today and for joining us today. We'll have to have you back sometime.
I would love that. I'm so grateful, and may your audience be deeply blessed by the amazing life-giving power of water.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Gina. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You've
been listening to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Check out the website for archived past programs, veritasmedical.com.